live to live righteously.
It's time for another episode of the Cultural Hall. It's Articles of News for the week of the 6th of March, second edition.
You already did one?
Yeah, we did one yesterday.
Oh, wow.
Right?
And you're going to do one tomorrow?
Yep.
Wow.
See how I am?
Yeah.
Now I'm trying to even remember who I did it with yesterday, and I can't. As I'm sitting here and as I try and remember, that's terrible.
Was it one of the Brits?
No.
Rob?
Oh, it was Brittany. Yeah, that's who it was.
Yeah.
Yep, on her birthday.
Yeah, yesterday was my daughter's birthday, too.
They share the same birthday?
Can you believe it?
I cannot believe. Can you believe it's March?
I can't believe my daughter turned 14 yesterday.
You know what? You know what I can't believe? And I need you to do a side-by-side picture and get it to Anna so she can post it on Instagram. I can't believe that your daughter looks so much like you.
Yeah.
Like, it is a young you.
Yeah,
I'm not sure if your husband's genes are just weak.
We got some strong genes in my family.
Yeah,
yeah.
But all of your kids that I've seen, maybe you've got one that you've been hiding.
It's funny. My family always says that my son, in particular, who I think looks the most like I did as a kid, they always say that he looks like, he's the spitting image of his dad. I'm like, what?
Yeah, no.
So they're good mixes. My first two look pretty similar to each other, and then the third one has her own kind of look. But again, people tell me that I looked like that as a kid, too. So I don't know. Maybe it's that mother thing where you know all their faces so well that you don't see it.
Yeah. I don't know about what you looked like as a kid because I didn't know you as a kid.
Sure.
But your daughter looks like you now.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, it's like, that is obviously Joni's daughter. There is not another person. Like, maybe she got herself pregnant because there's not any other genes in that pool that make that like that.
You know what, though? If I were to also show you a picture of my husband, like, same smile. They have the same mouth.
Do they?
Yeah. Same.
So maybe it's just the eye.
Because
it's the eyes mainly that I notice in your kids,
yeah,
where it's just like that
I have
is.
Pretty defined eyes. My family has really deep set eyes. Mm-hmm. So
a little wonky. No, I'm just joking.
I actually had a guy in high school. He was so weird, and I was so insecure that I had no idea how to take it. He was a very attractive kind of, you know, grunge.
Was he the popular kid?
He wasn't very popular because he also didn't give a crap about anybody.
Sure.
And we were in a class once, and he said, you look like when you were born, somebody grabbed your head and just dug their thumbs into your eye sockets.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, great. And he's like, it's actually pretty hot. I'm like, I have no idea how to take you. Like, I wanted to run away.
That old flatterer. Have you looked where he's at on Facebook? You checked him out? No?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Shoot.
I doubt he would ever be on Facebook.
Really? He's one of those guys?
Yeah,
See, the thing that you'll find out, though, and I want you to research it. You don't have to tell people here what happened, but my guess is you'll find him to be completely opposite of who and how he was
perhaps,
in high school.
Perhaps.
You know, like
his
CEO
sister,
of a major marketing company or something like that.
His sister was super straight arrow, so it was kind of like chocolate and vanilla there.
Which makes me want Neapolitan ice cream. Marge, we're out of Neapolitan ice cream. You've seen that episode of The Simpsons. He opens a box of ice cream, like three boxes, and the strawberry is gone. And all three
out.
Of them. Marge, we need more Neapolitan ice cream.
Yeah.
So what else is new? It's, by the way, me, Richie T, and it's just Joni.
Just me.
What's new?
What's new? Just, like, this is the lamest answer ever, but I'm just busy, like, driving my kids around.
Right, because they're
That's
starting to get to that
life.
Age where they have all sorts of interests, right?
Oh, my
right?
gosh. And my oldest daughter, who has that spirit of wanting to be everything and try everything, is doing too much. And now she's starting to get double booked, and we're trying to work out schedules. And then if they're all active in the church, I've got a young woman and a scout and an activity days. So that's three activities on Tuesday alone.
Mm-hmm.
But then they also have like two other activities on Tuesday. Like there's also a dance lesson and a guard rehearsal.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah, I don't like it.
You know what? I wish that someone would have taught me, and I know that as an adult I can teach myself this, but I'm not able to. Now I've committed to a lifetime of it, is choosing
right.
some things and then becoming really good at mm-hmm. those things as opposed to, well, that seems fun. Well, that seems fun. I guess I'll do, ooh, that's fun. And then just continuing to do way too much and not doing any of those things
I think
really
the,
that well.
The biggest problem is that she keeps picking things that require a lot of like extracurricular time.
Like what?
So she is... She's been playing violin in a school orchestra since third grade.
Sure. So that's a great thing.
She plays violin in the school orchestra. Mm-hmm. And then she also takes, you know, private lessons to help herself improve that way. And then she's also part of the community youth symphony because.
What a great opportunity.
Totally. And right. a symphony is so rad. So she does that. Then she's also in. Color guard, and right now is the winter guard season, which is a competition season and requires 6 to 10 hours of rehearsal a week plus, you know, all the competitions, which take all day. And then now she's also in the school musical, and they're starting to have to do after school practices.
What school is what musical?
It's going to be the Little Mermaid Junior.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So
I met a girl who played Ursula in her Little Mermaid Junior nice. Production recently.
Nice.
That's cool.
Yeah. It's all cool. And so that's hard for me to be like, you have to, I'm not going to tell her to give up violin.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And I don't want her to not do guard because it's her favorite thing in the whole world.
Right.
And so I told her maybe musicals are not going to be your thing if you're going to do all these things
but
all the
mom,
time.
But, Mom, you do musicals.
Yeah. So then she was like, well, can I just at least do this year and next year, and then I won't do them in high school? But I'm like, well, okay, but we're going to have the same problem next year, so.
Can you walk through the schedule and show her how it's tough instead of you having to
burden totally. It? Oh, yeah, totally. And she is doing a good job of, like, coordinating. I said, I'm not going to fix this problem for you when you have two places to be at once.
Mm-hmm.
So she's been emailing and talking to her directors and stuff and being like, the timing isn't what I thought it was going to be. Can you work with me? And she'll have to work it out.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. Good.
It'll
That's your oldest, right? The 14
yeah.
is your oldest?
Yeah, just turned 14 yesterday.
So like in a year, she'll be driving? Think about that for a minute.
I know.
Oh, yes.
You know what? If she grew up where I grew up, I wouldn't be worried about it at all. But
which remind me was where?
In Cache Valley.
Oh, yeah.
There's lots of back roads to go learn how to drive.
Sure.
It's no problem.
But she's going to get thrown right into freeways and busy streets
yes,
and stuff like
that.
Yes,
that scares
yeah.
me. The
but
freeway
should.
Stuff scares me.
Should.
The freeways scare me myself driving sometimes.
But you know what? She'll be scared too, so take faith in that.
I'm supposed to take faith in the fact that she's scared?
Yeah, that she'll be scared. So she's not going to
be
crazy.
Cautious.
She'll be
yeah,
cautious.
Sure,
she'll be
sure.
aware of her surroundings. She'll
but
be.
Like if I have a semi-truck on either side of me on the freeway, I like my heart starts to beat
right?
really hard. I'm like,
right.
I have nowhere to go if something goes wrong right now. It scares me.
Or like if you have to be on time to record a show that's available in podcast form. Like,
oh, man.
Like you have the one-way streets and then you get lost and then you're like, hey, I'm 10 minutes away. Sorry. Like that could be a thing.
Yeah, that
Maybe.
Could.
I mean,
could
potentially.
Be. Yeah. I'm telling you. I feel like I'm the only person who has this problem, but anytime I have to drive downtown, I'm like this. I'm not even that flustered. I just make the wrong turn every single time. I try to plan it out, and I still screw up.
But you don't do it enough. That's all. You just don't do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, so after this, when we're done, you're going to tell me exactly the route that you take every turn.
Okay.
And then I'm going to do that exact same thing.
And then the next time you come here, you can take that exact route. Sure.
Yes.
Yeah, you
That's
bet.
That's going to happen.
A couple of emails
Kay.
That we can do. All right. The first email is from Angie. Says, hey, I love the show, and I'm glad to hear more from Britt. This is Big Britt, not Little Britt. But bless his heavy breathing heart, she says.
I was actually going to mention this to you.
Sounds like my brother is listening in on the other phone when I'm talking to my friends before he learned to put his hand over the mouthpiece so he couldn't hear him breathing. It's not a big deal. I won't stop listening. But maybe just back off the mic a little bit when you're not speaking. XOXO, Angie. And I addressed that yesterday in Articles of News a little bit, but I found that email. So I wanted to share that.
I noticed it as well, but I have to get, you know, temper that with the fact that I really do love when Britt comes on. I like his sense of humor.
This email from Tyler. Just a couple things to add to the articles of news. This is from now a couple weeks ago. He says, Regina is pronounced exactly the way that makes you giggle. Said it's that way, and it's part of the life of the Canadian prairies.
Wait, what now?
Regina, Canada.
It's not said Regina?
No, it's Regina. It's pronounced the way that makes you giggle.
Regina, Canada.
Yep, Regina, not Regina.
Okay, but there are women named Regina who say it Regina.
Sure, but in Canada, just like it's Tooele, not Thule, or, you know, any of those things here, it's pronounced Regina.
So if a woman is named Regina in Canada, do they also call her Regina?
Yep, maybe. If they like her. Second thing, pierogies are an Alberta staple thanks to our large population of the Ukrainian heritage. They are best prepared fried in a pan, in my opinion, says Tyler. Also, pupusas, they're a coveted meal for missionaries in Spanish-speaking missions. They are the best and one of the reasons that I gained a lot of weight as a missionary. Keep up the fun with the articles and news. Keep Brit around. He's great. Tyler from Alberta, Canada.
So you could go to Regina and have some poutine.
And pierogies. Poutine and pierogies.
I always think, poutine.
It's the worst name. Well, honestly, that's why I think that that's more than 50% of why I have never tried poutine, because I just can't get past the name.
Fries.
I know. I just can't get past the name. I can't get past the name thinking that would be delicious.
See, that's funny, because I would think you would want to be the first one to try it because it's called poutine.
You know, it's interesting. So I recently posted on Facebook, you know, people who know me know I love, and I loved your response, which was middle school humor.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the humor of it. I think the word Regina is funny. That doesn't mean I want to go there because it's called Regina. I just think it's funny.
I know.
And then this is from Rocky. Greetings from Liahona Warrior Arts. I just moved to the foothills of the Sierra Nevada mountain range and to a small city known as Grass Valley. It's located in California. I have to drive 2 hours to work and 2 hours back each day.
Ew.
4 days a week, so it's not bad when you listen to podcasts. I especially like to listen to the Cultural Hall podcast. Great to hear the variety and church-related subjects. I often listen to many of my Navy SEAL buddies' podcasts, as with other motivationally uplifting podcasts as well. But it's really nice to hear some LDS voices and information as I drive the long distance to and from work. Just a quick note, he says. Liahona Warrior Arts just opened a martial arts school in the Philippines. A member of the LDS Church named Charles Laris, who is also a martial artist, contacted me several years ago and wanted to join Liahona Warrior Arts and become a member of the Junfang Jeet Kun Do Grappling Association. I'm a second-generation Bruce Lee instructor. Bruce Lee directly taught my instructor, Larry Hartzell, and then Larry Hartzell taught me directly from 95 to 2007. Hartzell passed away in 2007, but I continue to teach. I currently train with Dan Inosanto from the Inosanto Academy. To people who know martial arts, this is a big deal. That's located in Los Angeles, California. He was also best friends and a student teacher with Bruce Lee before he passed away in 1973. He handed over his art of Jeet Kune Do to Dan Inosanto. Dan has been teaching ever since. He's 80 years old. Charles Laris discovered I was LDS from researching Liahona Warrior Arts and asked if we could partner. So a few years ago, when trust was built and paperwork filed, we now have a school in the Philippines. We're spreading and sharing the martial arts and a gospel message as well. Keep up the great work on the podcast. Well, I'd say it's a show available in podcast form, but whatever. Stay strong, stay humble, stay in touch. Would love to provide a future podcast, or it's a show, with you, Brother Rocky Twitchell.
Cool.
Anything else new with you that we didn't cover?
No.
Nope, nothing?
I mean, nothing.
Just busy being a mom, right?
Yeah. It's really been... So I'm still, you know, I'm during my heaviest med protocol right now.
Mm-hmm.
And
you look great.
Thank you.
Yeah. You sound good too.
You always say I look great. So that is very kind.
Right. Well, I don't tell you when you look bad.
Okay.
No, I'm teasing. I would tell you. Is that better
you look
or worse?
Really bad.
I would tell you. I would say, I wouldn't say you look bad. I'd say,
how you
is
feeling?
Everything okay?
Yeah. I just like being too busy makes it worse. And so that's been the hardest thing for me, because I've had a huge party to throw at least once a month since July. And I need to stop.
Yeah.
but people keep having birthdays and baptisms. And I hosted Thanksgiving, and I was in charge of my family reunion and my dad's giant 80th birthday party. And like, I need everybody to just chill and maybe
not
other
get
people,
any older.
Yeah, maybe other people plan stuff and
don't
and
get
I'll
baptized. That's the thing. You need people to not get baptized. They're all done, though, now,
they're
right?
They're done.
Yeah.
So they're all accountable.
Right. And when they get the priesthood, you just kind of go like, hey, go do some service.
Yeah. That's my son party. Was turning 12 in this year as well. So
yeah,
that will
make
also
him go
be
do a service
deal.
Project.
Yeah.
And then you do food afterwards. A little Caesar's pizza is done. I just saved you an entire party day.
Thanks.
Welcome. I become an uncle again today.
Nice. Today?
Yeah, today. They're like, inducing this moment.
Oh, so the baby has not yet been born yet?
No.
Or maybe you just don't know.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
All I got was a picture of going, hey, baby's coming.
Sweet. So what? How many is that for you now?
That will be in my natural family, because we've got lots of steps and stuff like that. That will be my ninth niece and or nephew.
Way to go.
His name is Cooper. And I taught his older brother, Asher, that Cooper rhymes with pooper. And so whenever...
Middle school humor.
Whenever anyone says, hey, Asher, are you excited to have a little brother, Cooper? He goes, without fail, with an automatic response, pooper or Cooper rhymes with pooper. It's the greatest thing. Brother hates it.
I'm sure.
Hates it. But that same brother, this... really sucked. My brother, so he does HVAC for a living, and then at nights he's been trying to finish up his basement so that they can have a room so that, you know, their daughter, the oldest one, can move downstairs, and then, you know, the brother can move into the daughter's room, and then, you know, they can have the
family
room close
expansion.
By. Yeah, family expansion. They can have the room close by for the nursery for the new baby. So my brother's trying to finish off the basement downstairs and gets a nail in his eyeball. Just... punctured it and
oh my gosh,
and so,
eyeball stuff makes me real cringy.
Yeah. And so they thought that he might go blind. They thought, and it's still kind of to be determined, but went and visited him at the hospital.
In like the so white he was part or the
he was
colored
he was pulling it out and it nicked it, and so he may have to get a lens replacement.
Oh my gosh.
Which is cool that they can do that,
like from a cadaver.
I don't know how that works. I don't
know
how it works beyond
a cadaver.
Yeah?
I really do.
Cool.
Yeah.
I just hope that it works out, because he's, you know, his wife doesn't work and he's a provider and he's struggling with it sort of emotionally.
Yeah, that's rough.
Because he feels a tremendous amount of weight, especially with the baby coming and doing all that. So I've said, listen, I'm no good. I'm no good at anything but paying for stuff and yard work. So let me know if you know either of these things.
Do they live local?
Yeah. They do. And but their kids have like these crazy amount of allergies, right? Just tons.
Oh.
And so I call up my brother, who had provided the meal for them the night before. And he's like, oh, I did this and I did this and I did this. And he's big into that stuff, right? Knows the allergies and knows this. And I'm just like, oh, geez. So I went to a barbecue place because I knew that if I just got the meat, that they could eat meat. And so I got my favorite kind of meat and a lot of it. And I went to the house and I said, here, hopefully you guys have other stuff you can eat around this. Here is a big slab of meat.
Richie, bring meat.
Yeah, I really did. I said, I'm terrible at this. This is really expensive and delicious. I hope you like it. Thanks. Bye. And he's like, oh, it's great. And I just feel dumb about that stuff. But it really is like no gluten, but also no soy, but also no dairy, but also no. And
no
I'm just,
nuts.
Yeah. So it's just like, you know what? The last thing I want to do is make something, think that I did it right, and put your kids in the hospital. So I know meat's fine. Here's a big slab. You guys got the rest.
Yeah. Protein.
So, yeah.
Poutine.
No. Who's the middle schooler now?
Hey, I didn't say I don't also like middle school humor.
Anyway, so let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll do some actual articles of news. As you can see, I've got a bunch that I'll do. But we'll do another episode of articles of news this week. And that'll be with Brother Kyle. So we'll do that coming back in the second half of articles of news.
Imagine running a small business today. It's challenging. Imaging and internet presence is an absolute must. Even with that, you're still a small star in a bright cyber universe. Now, imagine you have someone who understands how to get your site designed for your talents and then easily searched by potential clients. Imagine Lennon Design. Whether it's strictly a website or a whole package of logo creation, advertising media, and promotional materials, Lennon Design is your partner in business. They'll test the boundaries of their imagination to create something unique for you. When you need creative, affordable design, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
Hi, friends. Dan the Laptop Man here from PC Laptops. I get a lot of emails with feedback from customers. Here's one. Dear Dan, I want to thank you for the help you gave my mom with her computer. She's gone from being frustrated to fascinated. I'm not overjoyed, though, that every picture of me that she has is now on Facebook. But she loves the computer and is happier than I've seen her in her whole life because of your team. You guys are the best. Signed, Happy. Dear Happy, in our company training meetings, we always teach everyone to treat every customer like they're your mom. At PC Laptops, we'll hold your hand every step of the way. Get a brand new PC Laptops desktop for just $799 with a lifetime warranty at any PC Laptops location. $799? You can't beat that. While supplies last, quantities are highly limited. Please visit us at PCLaptops.com. That's PCLaptops.com. I know you'll be happy too. Hey, Ma!
Utah's newest upscale catering company is now accepting bookings for the upcoming holiday and wedding season. Slick Rock Catering masterfully combines exquisite food, beautiful presentation, high-level service, and careful attention to create a special occasion that will be remembered. From award-winning food, event planning, decorating, to providing highly trained servers, Slick Rock Catering will help you make your next special event a huge success. Contact them at slickrockcatering.com.
The Cultural Hall wants you to help Utah Food Bank fight hunger statewide. Through your donations of food, time, or money, Utah Food Bank is able to distribute over 31 million meals annually to Utahns facing hunger. Even a $1 donation can be turned into $7.35 of goods and services. One in five children in Utah could go to bed hungry tonight, and 423,000 Utahns are unsure where their next meal will come from. By donating food at your local pantry or by visiting utahfoodbank.org, you can make a difference.
It's time for the second half of the Cultural Hall, wherein we do articles of news. Hit it, Peter.
You can't lose articles of news.
And here is a list of one thing that every Mormon should understand before they go less active.
It's a list of one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, thank you. I'm glad you thought that was humorous. It was intended to be humorous, but whatever.
Okay.
One thing that every Mormon should understand before they go less active. Any ideas?
No.
The one thing.
The one thing they should know?
Mm-hmm.
You'll rot in hell if you go inactive.
Whoa.
I'm totally joking. I say that as a person who has been inactive, so.
Are you still inactive?
No. I'm active.
Fully active? 404 in a month? 304? Because by definition, active is just one of four every month.
Right. I'm definitely that active.
Okay.
If I weren't sick, I would probably make it every week.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. But there's something about taking care of yourself that I think God goes, okay, take care of yourself.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I went through my period of inactivity in a way that kind of changed things for me. So I am active, but I don't feel like I'm... like I was before active. It's like physically I'm doing the same things, but my attitude about it is a little bit different. So
okay.
Anyway, we don't need to expand on that.
That sounds like we could dive into that sometime. The fact, this thing, the one thing, the church is true despite the members. This according to Aaliyah Ingram, who writes for LDSDaily.com. In most Christian churches, you only go because of the members. The church is less of an institution and more of a social gathering. If you don't like the members or the pastor, you simply find a new church or stop going altogether. For most Christians, the members of their church are the church, however, writes Aaliyah.
Mm-hmm.
The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, that is not the case. The LDS Church or Mormon Church is a framework of doctrine, priesthood ordinances, and covenants. The Lord Jesus Christ himself declared that the LDS Church is the only true and living church upon the face of the whole earth. It is true because its foundations are not are not people, but doctrines and principles. Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. Each one of us can and should gain a testimony of the truthfulness of the Book of Mormon and thereby gain a testimony of the prophetic call of Joseph Smith and the reality of the restored church.
Yeah. If the one thing is that a lot of people don't go inactive because of people. They go inactive because they don't know it's true.
Right. Right. Because I feel like you could put up with really terrible people if you still knew it was true.
Yeah. So when I hit a really major breaking point, I'd been going through some crisis for a long, long time and just trying to just kind of hold that inside and be patient and still do all the stuff. And I hit a place where I couldn't juggle that anymore. And I went to my bishop and I just said, I think I need to take a break. And I said, I don't have anything against anyone in the ward. They're very nice people. We have a great neighborhood. People are kind. I think they're all genuinely doing their best. I have friends. I don't need fellowship. Please don't bring my name up in ward council and say, Joni's struggling. What can we do? Like, I got to untangle some things and I can't do it with all this pressure on me.
Mm-hmm.
And he was so great. He just said, well, there's nothing that I know that you don't know. And good luck on your journey. Know that we always love you. You're always welcome. And if you ever need anything, let us know. It's great.
And you're there. And that worked.
Yeah. And
that introspection and honesty with yourself, I think, is something that not everybody has.
So for me, taking that time away helped me because I had a lot of negative stuff all wrapped up with my testimony. I didn't know how to parse them out in a way to keep the good and discard the bad. And so it wasn't until I gave myself permission to just lay it all out and say anything's fair game to get thrown away that I realized what I really did believe and the parts that I did feel strongly about. So I've, in my opinion, my testimony is small but strong.
High five across the way. Good. Thank you for sharing that.
Mm-hmm.
I've got three quick stories. Are you ready for this? You ever done an adult coloring book?
Yes.
Yeah?
I love them.
Cool.
My brain can focus on information better if mm-hmm. my hands are busy.
Okay.
And so I'll take them to church and it helps me retain information better.
Well, have you taken a coloring book of Mormon women to church with you?
I have not.
It's time to coincide with the 175th anniversary on March 17th of the LDS Relief Society. It is produced and marketed by Boston-born Exponent 2, a magazine by and for Mormon women. And it's modeled after a 19th century LDS periodical, The Women's Exponent. It features illustrations of Emma Smith, Eliza R. Snow. It also includes images of less familiar Mormon pioneers, such as Jane Manning James.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Amy Brown Lyman, the church's 8th General Relief Society president, who launched that organization's social welfare department. Also, Julia Mafambila, a Mormon peace activist in South Africa who died in 2000. So it's a great way for you to honor influential Mormon women by doing an adult coloring book. It's called Illuminating Ladies, a coloring book of Mormon women.
I am going to get it.
Will you let me know how it is?
Yeah, I'll bring it and show it to you.
For show and tell next
yeah.
month?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or for opening exercises, I guess? Maxine Grimm, 102 years old.
Is she Grimm?
Grimm. No, she's dead.
She fights monsters? Oh.
Oh. Too soon? She passed away. She pioneered efforts for the LDS Church in the Philippines and made it possible for LDS missionaries to begin to work in the nation in the early 1960s. She was born May 18th, 1914. She entered the Philippines as a Red Cross worker in 1945. She married a U.S. Army colonel, and the couple made their home in Manila, not vanilla, which I started to say. In the following year, she and her husband, who joined the church in 1967, worked to open the doors for the church across Asia. Her home was the center of church activity. Most of the first 2,000 baptisms in Manila were performed in the Grimm swimming pool.
Wow.
Sister Grimm played her portable pump organ, which she had transported throughout the war at many church meetings and special occasions. When the history of the work in the Philippines is properly written, it must include the story of Maxine Grimm, a girl from Tooele, Utah. Anyway, so she passed away. Just an amazing, amazing woman. And today, so you get this. So most of the first 2,000 baptisms in Manila were performed in their swimming pool. There are now 728,000 members of the church in the Philippines.
Sweet. That was a happy reunion when she got
right.
To
like
the
she
other
gets
side.
Up there and was like, "Woo!
Yeah.
Pool party!"
Yeah.
And then this: an apostle from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, Elder Dale G. Renland, visited Tonga over the weekend with two other high-ranking members of the LDS Church, the general, the bishop. Why can't I think the presiding bishop. And also Elder Hallstrom. The delegation attended various meetings, including a meeting with Queen Nanisapuyu and other members of the royal family. Now, remember that the Prince of Tonga, one of the sons, recently joined the church. Yep. He says, if we want to help the royal family, and we should change our hearts and follow Jesus Christ, and everything we do will be for the benefit of the people of this remarkable kingdom. According to the LDS Church, there are 168 Latter-day Saint congregations in Tonga. Prince Atta was who we were thinking of. He was baptized into the church in 2015. Now, you brought a news story, right?
I did.
Please.
So, Elder Oaks recently spoke at...
Was it devotional?
I think it was at a... graduation, not a graduation. It was like a keynote speaker at a university in Hawaii. In a February 25 commencement address to graduates of LDS Church-owned Brigham Young University, Hawaii,
BYUH,
Oaks discussed the challenging times and fears facing humankind. It's very interesting. I read the Salt Lake Tribune, who wrote about it, and then I read the Deseret News article about it.
So that's the two newspapers in Salt Lake.
Right, and Deseret News is owned by the church, and Salt Lake Tribune is not.
It's owned by a member of the church, the Huntsman's.
Sure.
Huntsman's?
I don't know.
Yeah, Huntsman's.
But, you know, they took kind of a different take on it. This one, and I'm quoting now from the Salt Lake Tribune. The 84-year-old LDS church leader didn't weigh in on what role humans play in climate change, and he didn't denounce the policies streaming from the new White House, but he did point to the pressures mounting on the environmental and political fronts. He said, "Seacoast cities are concerned with the rising level of the ocean, which will bring ocean tides to their doorsteps or over their thresholds," said Oaks. Second in line to lead... Oh. This is saying he's second in line to lead the church.
Mm-hmm.
Global warming is also affecting agriculture and wildlife. The LDS apostle noted that nations worry about threats to world peace and free trade, even as President Donald Trump reexamines longtime alliances and landmark trade pacts.
Mm-hmm.
Oaks never mentioned Trump by name, but he did specify that the new president's brash tone is causing anxieties around the globe. Here he's quoting again, "We are even challenged by the politics of conflict," he said, "and the uncertainties sponsored by the aggressive new presidential administration in the world's most powerful nation." Anyway, so he went on to talked a lot about like pushing back against worldly influences and making your own space a safe place and building up those walls strongly, but it was interesting that he did address those two kind of controversial topics, even though he did it in a really democratic way.
Right. But sometimes don't you wish they'd just be like, "And President Trump is a nut job."
Yeah, but then you get all the LDS people who are really pro-Trump, and then
right.
What do they think?
Right.
You know?
Right.
And the church, of course, is very, like, it's their stance that they won't take a political stand and say
you know, this person, this group, right. this thing, whatever.
And he didn't say that global warming was caused by people, but he did say that it's happening. So,
all right, I got another list for you. You ready for this? Because
mm-hmm.
you love lists like I love lists.
Mm-hmm.
Number one. Oh, wait, I got to give you the tease and then tell me how many of these you can name. 9 favorite Mormon moments on reality TV shows. Let's see how many you can name.
Okay. There was the time that the dad and the son won the Amazing Race.
Yes. David and Connor O'Leary win the Amazing Race. Okay.
I bet Dawn Meehan didn't make it onto the list because she didn't win anything. But she was on Survivor.
Survivor.
Mormon people. Oh, David Archuleta has got to be on there.
Yep. He's number one. Okay.
Those are the only ones I can think of off the top of my head.
On Playhouse Masters, the LDS couple that built the playhouse for Steph Curry.
Oh, I don't even know what Playhouse Masters
is. They make these elaborate playhouses for kids. It's amazing.
Cool.
Let's see. So that's 1, 2, and 3 we've covered. Number 4, Madeline Page, former guest here in the Cultural Hall, battles with Tanner James on The Voice back in 2014. Number 5, I'm disappointed that you didn't get this one. Lindsay Sterling, originally on America's Got Talent, and then they
and
got
they
her to come back.
Her, yeah, they
yep.
didn't like it in the beginning. And she was like,
and then
I'm
she's
laughing
like,
all the way to the YouTube bank, so there.
Number 6, Donny Osmond, when he won on Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, I didn't realize he won. I remembered he was on. I don't watch that show.
Teenage Girls Fashion gets her to Project Runway Junior.
Oh.
We talked about that here in the Cultural Hall. Allie Lunt.
Mm-hmm.
That's number 7. Number 8, the Gardner family and their quadruplets on Ellen DeGeneres.
Huh.
The 34-second snippet that ends with one of the Gardner's quadruplets peeking under the door quickly went viral as parents all over the world identified with this young mother and her struggles. So she's going to the bathroom and the kid looks under the door. Parents of quadruplets Ashley and Tyson Gardner initially didn't know if they would be able to have children. But after in vitro fertilization, the Gardner's son found themselves expecting 4 children.
Right. And it's 2 sets of twins.
Right.
So, like, that both eggs split.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
That's what happens when you get in vitro fertilization. It's like all rules, all bets are off. And then the last one is, you know who Titus is, right?
Oh, the little basketball boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Little trick shot Titus.
He really is amazing.
Yeah.
Like he's, what, 3 or was when he was on TV?
He
can make like any shot from anywhere.
I think that he's probably 5 now.
Yeah.
So pretty big deal. Been on all sorts of things. And I was reading that some colleges have already offered him scholarships to come there.
Yeah.
Right. They're just
it's not like he's gonna get worse.
They're just investing.
Yeah.
Saying, you know what? Yeah, you bet. We'll take it.
Okay, I have a related story to that. Yeah. It's very short. But speaking of reality TV, on the new season where Gwen Stefani has replaced Miley Cyrus.
Mm-hmm.
I don't watch this show, but it does come on right before a show that I do watch, so I catch the end a lot. Blind Spot.
Okay. I don't know what that's about even.
It's about a girl with tattoos and her tattoos solve crimes.
Really?
Yeah. It's more complicated than that. It's
okay.
Not like a cartoon thing. Anyway, this girl named Aaliyah Rose is 14 years old and Gwen Stefani turned around for her during the blind auditions. And so she's going to be on Team Gwen. And she is pretty amazing. And especially since now I look at my daughter, who's 14, I'm like, yeah, there's a pretty big difference between not only the vocal technique, but like just the confidence. She's clearly performed for a very long time. So she's on.
What's her name again? Aaliyah?
Aaliyah Rose, 14-year-old.
I got this story for you. So the Book of Mormon, the musical, just went to Australia in the last little while.
Okay.
It's the first time it's been on Australia, on the continent of mm-hmm. Australia. And so they did this article about what Mormon people think, what real Australian Mormons think about the Book of Mormon, the musical.
Is this coming from like an Australian news source?
Yes.
Okay.
Hannah says, obviously, it's not a great representation of what we believe, but I just went, wow. this is incredible, but that people are getting to know who we are. We're normal people. I just hope from the people from the musical that people realize that we're here in Australia. A lot of people think that Mormons are only in America. So that's what one said. Jenna Dean, which I think is a great name.
Or is it Jenna Dine?
No, it's Dean, D-E-N-E. Jenna Dina or Jenna
like,
Dina?
Like Regina?
I got it. Okay, I got it. Yeah, okay. I knew where you were
Jenna
going.
Jenna Dine.
She says, it kind of paints missionaries as being naive and brainwashed and not really knowing much about life. When we decide to serve our missions, which is what the young men are doing in the musical, we are fully aware of what we're doing. It's a choice. We're volunteering to do it. We're sacrificing schooling, careers, dating, marriage, just to serve and help people. I'll do one more, and you can find there's several people that have commented about this. Grant says, Grant, the Australian Mormon. Says, we're okay with people poking fun of us. Christian doctrine is to turn the other cheek. Engagement in religion doesn't reduce your freedom. If I wanted to become a secular atheist, which I find completely boring, I could be a secular atheist tomorrow. People accuse us of being naive or being ignorant. That's the thing with our faith. We want to keep learning. We want to keep pushing humanity forward and bringing them out of the Middle Ages. So way to go, Grant.
That's interesting. Interesting that he would say push him out of the Middle Ages.
Well,
that's all
it's enlightenment. It is sort of interesting.
I get it. But, you know, the structure of our church is quite... I don't want to paint it in a negative light by saying antiquated, but traditional. Traditional.
In some ways.
Yeah.
In some ways, certainly, like the patriarchal nature of the church. But in other ways, like the progressiveness of like becoming like God is
sure.
Is you know, and far more
and
beyond.
I think that the church does come up with solutions that are forward thinking, like the church education program and stuff mm-hmm. like that. So yeah, I see what I see what Grant means.
Grant, the Australian Mormon. Ha, it's Grant. Whoa, hello, it's Grant.
Give me some Vegemite. I can't even do an Australian accent.
No, you killed it. Nailed it. See, Grant's not really from Australia. He just lives there now, so that was perfect.
Okay.
President Hinckley had a grandson, David Hinckley. He helps build temples for a living. There's a cool story, just a little bit about him, just kind of an aside. He works as an electrical engineer for Spectrum Engineers, and his company, which has many clients, has been hired to design lighting for temples around the world, both the exterior and interior. He says, to have an opportunity to work on temples was something that I was very excited about. A big part of my desire to build so many temples is because I traveled the world and saw the sacrifices that members throughout the world made to get temples, and he wanted to make it easier to get to them. On the anniversary of President Hinckley's death, which was just the other day, David told KSL, which is the news outlet here in Salt Lake, one of them, he never stops thinking about the grandfather who is such an optimist. Quote, he was one of the glasses half full type people that always looked for the positive in people and situations. And that was a great example to me and other members of my family.
I think that's why people, I mean, to me, President Hinckley is my prophet because he was who was prophet when I was just like really learning about church and gaining a testimony and all of that. But I think he's beloved to many people because of that. He's seemed very approachable and light and warm.
Well, and also he did so much outwardly, right? Like he would do news and he would do interviews and he would do so many of those things that I think you got an opportunity not only to know the doctrine from President Hinckley, but also to know President Hinckley from
right.
President Hinckley.
Yeah.
Where, and it's not a slight on President Monson, but President Monson's health is not altogether that great.
Right.
And it's not a skill set.
Right. I was going to say different strengths.
Do you know who Matt Strock is?
No.
He's a He's an English teacher at American Fork Junior High, and he looked across his class of squirrely students and posed a very simple question. Do you want to be a walnut tree or a marigold?
Does it say squirrely students?
Uh-huh. This article does. Popular among educators, the concept is based on age-old gardening strategy. If you plant marigolds, most vegetables and plants will flourish around them. The marigold protects, encourages, and nourishes its neighbors. On the other hand, be careful what you plant next to a walnut tree. They produce a toxin that stunts growth, wilts, and eventually destroys its nearby friends. Strock explained how the students might choose to be one or the other by the way they treat the classmates around them. They could help them grow and help them find their potential, or they could discourage, diminish, and poison them. Ryan, who is an energetic eighth grader, instantly knew the answer. He wanted to be a marigold. So with this pad of sticky notes, Ryan launched his personal marigold project by leaving anonymous uplifting notes on desks and lockers. Soon he was leaving a few coins on snack machines. Next he was buying roses a dozen at a time to give them to girls that he discerned needed a little boost. The genuine gestures performed with pure motives and no expectations were a big hit. Fueled by their thanks and wide smiles, an idea began to grow. By Thanksgiving of last year, Ryan had an idea larger than a floral shop. He described the experience in a phone call recently. After a few times, after seeing how good I was doing, or how good it was going, I decided to take it to a bigger scale. I wanted every single girl in this school to get a flower. So this last Valentine's Day, at American Fork Junior High School, Ryan had earned enough money through odd jobs around the house to be able to get a flower for every girl at his middle school. With some happy helpers, Ryan unpacked and prepared. How many do you think?
It's got to be like, what, 500?
947.
Wow.
947 carnations for 947 young ladies. One by one, he tied a small card to the stem with a variety of inspiring messages. On delivery day, only the school administration and a tight handful of Ryan's friends knew what was about to unfold. They were all so happy. A few girls even cried. I couldn't believe it. It felt really good because I didn't even know all of them. I think me giving them a flower caught them off guard, and their reactions caught me off guard. Photos soon popped up on social media. Girls were happy. Mothers were thrilled, and everyone learned a lesson about love. Be the marigold!
Way to be, marigold. Ryan, is that his name?
Yeah, the marigold.
Yeah, that's his name now.
Yep. This, also from Tonga. Nope, Samoa. The secretary of the Motuatua. Pretty good, because I know I got that right. First ward of the LDS Church. Frank Jessup is not a happy person.
Uh-oh.
Says this article. Mr. Jessup came to the Samoa Observer to express his disgust at the behavior of some members of the public who developed the habit of throwing rubbish in their church compound at Motuatua. Secretary of the church said this is not the first time that this has occurred. It all started in the beginning of this year when some of the church members came to clean up the chapel and saw bags of rubbish being thrown inside the compound of the church, said Mr. Jessup. We cleaned it up thinking that this may be a one-day incident, but up until now, this has become a habit for whoever is doing this to throw rubbish in the compound. Mr. Jessup said it's frustrating to see this happen because it's the children of the members of the church who have to clean it up. What really boils us up, which I like that phrase, is the fact that even toilet papers and things that are used in the toilets are being dumped in the church compound. They just chucked it in the compound, and then the stray dogs come and tear those rubbish bags, and then it is everywhere. Whoever is doing this thinks it is funny, but it is not. They think nobody can see them, but little do they know that God is watching their every action. Whatever they are doing to us, whether it's intentionally or not, God will surely let them have a taste of their own medicine, or probably worse, says Frank Jessup. We didn't make any complaints to MNRE because we don't know who is doing this. I'm guessing that's the police. So this was the only way, that being reaching out to the newspaper, was the only way that our leader thought of, because maybe the person who is doing this sees it in the paper, maybe they would stop. Even this morning when we came to the chapel, there was rubbish everywhere, so we cleaned it up, but because who else is going to do it? We covered our hands with plastic bags and we picked up toilet papers and some disgusting things because I know everyone in Samoa that wherever there is an LDS church, the compounds are always clean and neat. So it's frustrating because we keep it clean and some people think it's okay because the church will take care of it. Mr. Jeff's message to whoever is doing this is that their church compound is not a rubbish dump. Please, this is not Tafiaga rubbish dump. This is a church compound, he said. use the rubbish shelves that have already been placed to put your rubbish on so that the rubbish truck will collect it, not collect it, but not at our church.
Rubbish. Rubbish. Now it doesn't even sound like a word anymore. Yeah. Rubbish.
Overuse of the word rubbish. You know, there's so many stories because we didn't do an Articles of News last week. Maybe I'll just do a couple more and then we'll call it quits.
You got to save some for Kyle.
Yeah. Brother Kyle, another episode this week. Plus, there's more news happening as we speak.
Every day.
Flames raced through part of a Mormon church Wednesday in Van Nuys, causing heavy damage, but officials said no one was hurt. This is at the Los Angeles, the 15555 Sadakoy Street Chapel in Los Angeles. Fire was contained to a kitchen, classroom, hallway, and attic in the rear of the church. 71 firefighters responded, preventing flames to spread to the church's sanctuary. The blaze was extinguished in 54 minutes. Fire loss is being tabulated with the assistance of church officials. The cause of the greater alarm fire remains the focus of an active and customary fire department investigation. It was luck and the LAPD helicopter, people at the right place at the right time. It was not perhaps divine intervention, but we had some help that can't be explained. So people are like, well, we're saying it's divine intervention and somebody who's totally not willing to recognize a hand of God, perhaps. Not perhaps divine intervention, but we had some help that can't be explained. What, you mean like God? Well, that's one explanation.
Like how? What was the help that couldn't be explained?
Let's see.
Just that it didn't
just
spread
that,
and they got it
It was
so
luck
fast.
And the helicopter saw it when they saw it, that they were able to get it out that quick.
Makes me wonder if, because a lot of times in buildings that burn, even if some places don't burn, they've got so much smoke damage.
Right.
That's a problem.
And the neighborhood talks about smoke being around the neighborhood safe. As far as I can remember, there haven't been any residential buildings that have caught on fire, says one neighbor. He said he didn't think it was a hate crime. Hopefully it was benign and not somebody with ill intentions. The House of Worship Arson Task Force. Way to go, California.
Whoa.
That's pretty rad. The House of Arson. No, House of Worship Arson Task Force, which is a band that's coming to the Warped Tour this fall, was notified. So the building was constructed in 1953. They have deployed task force investigators, and several congregations met in those chapel in that chapel, sort of notifying their congregants and making arrangements to meet in other buildings. One more?
I don't mind.
Let's see. Oh, let's do two more. This story is funny and terrible, and then we'll do one about my president, Romney.
Okay.
Jeremy Kyle called a church-going Mormon man his favorite guest ever on Monday's edition of the ITV daytime show before declaring, "I love you." Did you read this article? Uh-huh. Churchgoer Alan has Jeremy Kyle in stitches on Monday's edition of the show. The host comments were all thanks to guest Alan's smart three-piece suit, laid-back attitude, and after he described the hymen as the door God puts there to avoid used goods.
Oh, my God. I didn't see that part.
Yeah. Alan appeared on the program to find out if his wife, Louise, had been having a three-month affair behind his back. Alan revealed he had moved into a new area when he spotted pretty girl Louise on the bus one day while he was on his way to church. Jeremy called Alan his favorite guest ever. Jeremy joked it was a message from God, and he didn't even have to pray for it. Alan said he doesn't believe in sex before marriage, but then had Jeremy in fit of giggles after confessing the pair had sex twice 4 days before the wedding. So church-going guy. Didn't believe in sex before marriage, but they had sex 2 times 4 days before they got married. You can only put up with it You can only put up with it for so long before it gets heavy, he said. Alan said he thought Louise was a virgin when they met, but there was no hymen. Sorry, everybody. Louise was adamant that she hadn't been unfaithful to Alan, and Jez quipped, "Isn't that what you sing in church?" Therapist Graham later joked to the host, "You are obsessed with that word that I'm not going to say yet." A year after the pair got married, Alan feared that Louise was being unfaithful. He said her behavior changed, and he saw her sneak sexy clothes out of the house. So this is actually a sad story. He explained, "I don't think she's as religious as I might be." Jeremy called Alan barking mad and said, "I love you," to which Jeremy replied, "You're brilliant. You are. You're absolutely brilliant. You're absolutely barking mad, aren't you?" Alan said Louise confessed to a 3-month fling and cheating on him before their wedding day. She had cheated before. Even before they got married. He added, "She turned round and said every day, Monday to Saturday, obviously Sunday is God's day, she'd been going out and having an affair with this guy.
But she didn't do it on Sunday because
right,
that's God's day.
That's the lesson. You don't have an affair on Sunday." And speaking of the Sabbath day, Mitt Romney, you might have heard of him, President Romney, as far as I'm concerned. After graduating in the top 5% of his business school class at Harvard, no one can argue that Mitt Romney went on to achieve incredible success in the world of business. But as a father, bishop, and husband, how did he manage to balance it all? How did he find the success? Recently, in a video that you can find at theculturalhall.com, associated with this episode, there was a video that's posted by Stanford Graduate School of Business. Mitt Romney shared some tips for how he achieved success, and a few of them had to do with business. Instead, Romney shared the advice to hold on to those values and things in your life that matter most. In fact, Romney shared an example of when he went to work for Bain & Company and stood firmly by his belief to keep the Sabbath holy. Quote, "I remember when I was talking to Bill Bain about joining Bain & Company," Mitt Romney says, "I said, look, I have to take all day Sunday off. If there's like a company meeting or if you want to come in or if you want to come in for case meetings on Sunday, I just won't be there. If that's something that the firm can't accept, then I'm probably not the right guy for the firm. And I live by that. I think that made me more effective and more productive." Romney went on to explain the promotions and success he received by living his life in a way that valued what matters most. Quote, "I don't think it hurts to have something more in your life than just work. I think having faith or community that you care about, politics and children, I think that makes you a more full human being, more able to understand how the world works and how most people think, and may actually make you effective," he says. But even if those who take Romney's advice don't get promotions or make as much money as they hope, Romney adds, quote, "So what? Life is not about getting promotions and money. If that's how you measure your life, I've got some bad news. There's serendipity in the world. Bad things happen in business and economy. But if you measure yourself by the things that count most to you, your relationship with your spouse, your friendships, your children, your family, you can have success regardless of what happens in the world around you." Very good. And it's a great video if you haven't seen it. I think it's like 20 minutes long.
Yeah.
Great.
I read that article, but yeah. I didn't watch the video.
Yeah. So great. Take a minute.
Okay.
Put your feet up while you're waiting for your daughter to get out of violin.
Yeah.
You're out in the car thinking, what am I going to do? We got to get here. Take a minute with President Romney.
President Romney.
Yep. We had our chance. Boy, are we glad we didn't do that.
Yeah.
Nope. That would have been.
What a disaster.
All right. Did you have fun?
Here?
Yeah.
Yeah, always.
Good. It's good to see you.
I braved the streets of downtown for you.
I know. Listen,
and
I know.
For our listeners.
Yes.
And for me.
You'll be back again?
Always.
Okay.
I'm feeling really bad, then I won't.
Okay.
Okay.
I just want to make sure that I heap pressure on you.
Okay.
Okay.
I love that.
Good.
I love pressure and, like, stress.
Expectations?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
All of the above.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping you're feeling that right now.
Yeah. Okay.
We hope that this episode has nourished and strengthened your body.
And that if you ever have to drive in a downtown setting, you can figure out where to park.
And that when the time comes, you'll be able to travel home in safety. That's you especially.
Yes.
In the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you.
On the back row.
Of the cultural hall.
Save me a seat. It's sure to be neat. On the back row. We really gotta go. On the Culture Hall Show. Ow!